When the novel was published, it was published under the pseudonym Acton Bell. On publication, people didn't know the identity of Acton Bell, and they didn't really know the sex of the writer either. Acton could have been male or female, more likely male. When critics wrote about it, they found it vulgar, coarse and brutal. One writer said that the mind that conceived the novel is one of great strength and fervour, but coarse almost to brutality. And he went on to say that, in a rather whimsical way, that the owner, the author, that is, may be descended from a Jarl or a Sea King, as though that they had an almost supernatural aspect to them. What I think a modern day reader might not understand is quite how shocking the themes of the novel would be to, and ungenteel, I suppose, to a Victorian reader. The account of alcoholism, the account of drug taking, the account of libertine behaviour, but more than that, I think, the account of marital violence and adultery. And after all, the novel is really a love story between Helen and Gilbert, and most of the way through the novel, Helen is actually married to another man. So it is a novel that seems to condone, or to accept, I suppose, extramarital affairs, but also, in a sense, to condone them. Before Gilbert and Helen can marry, Arthur, of course, has to die, but nevertheless, that there is a clear tie between them, and quite a sexual tie between them before Arthur is in fact dead. So it was shocking, I think, to contemporary readers. Charlotte thought that the novel was ill-advised and that Anne shouldn't have written the novel. Anne died within a year of the publication of The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, and Charlotte republished Emily's, and who'd also recently died as well, Emily and Anne's work, and introduced them as the works of her two deceased sisters. And she seemed to have been embarrassed by The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, whether or not that was because she realised that it had a kind of autobiographical or a family story within it, the story of Branwell and his affair with Lydia Robinson, or whether it's just because she thought that it was ill-advised for Anne, a young single woman, to have written a story of such frankness. I'm not really certain. The response to it was mixed. I think people did admire it, and that they were thrilled by it, actually, because it is a thrilling read, really, and the way in which it talks about these shocking scenes in with such frank detail, and it talks about them in a very visceral way, I think. And I think that no reader could be immune from the power of that. So I think readers were affected by it and were drawn to it because of that. There's a kind of melodramatic aspect to it, I suppose, that is very exciting. But I think that those positive responses will always had to be within the reviews tinged with a kind of moral disapproval because of the themes that it was dealing with. The Tenants fairly quickly slipped out of view. Certainly in the 20th century, The Tenant hasn't had as many readers in any sense at all as the novels of Emily and Charlotte. One other writer who was particularly drawn to Anne Bronte was George Moore, actually, which is quite curious. But George Moore wrote an essay about Anne Bronte in the 1890s about her as the Cinderella Bronte. And George Moore was a naturalist writer. And so clearly there was something about her, something about the themes and the way in which she approached them that he found particularly enticing. But other than that, she did really slip out of view, certainly in the middle of the 20th century. So she really is, I think, the Cinderella Bronte sister.